You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 30th, 2021, we were talking about Bill Cosby and his conviction being overturned before we went into the news, and then the story broke, and the news, as you heard, stated he is already out of prison. He has been released from prison. That's after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court vacated his sexual assault conviction. He's released from the Collegeville, Pennsylvania facility just outside Philadelphia, just before 1:30 Central Time, and word is now being released in pictures apparently showing he is free and out. Cosby had never agreed with the verdict against him. So the state's highest court throwing out his conviction earlier because they found that the district attorney who brought the case against Cosby violated a previous prosecutor's agreement to not charge him, though the deal apparently had never been put in writing. The split justices wrote in their decision that Cosby had been counting on that agreement when he gave testimony in a civil case which had been filed by Andre Constant, and those accusations later formed the basis of the criminal case against him. So Bill Cosby is now free of prison. Are you a member of the LinkedIn community? Do you have some of your information on LinkedIn? There's a new report out that a second data breach at Microsoft-owned LinkedIn has now exposed the personal data of 700 million users. That is more than 92% of those who use LinkedIn. And now they are apparently offering that information for sale on the dark web. That includes your phone numbers, physical addresses, your geolocation data, any salaries that might have been reported. Apparently, a hacker who obtained the data posted a sample of 1 million records and checks, confirming that the data is genuine and up to date. They had a similar breach back in April, now this one. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, said, no, I don't. I do not. I will not. I do not. I'm not going to regret any comments where I grouped the U.S. and Israel with terrorist groups. Numerous House Democrats had criticized her comments as anti-Semitic. In her response, when she was asked, do you regret these comments? She said, I don't. That's it. I don't. Now she tries to explain beyond that. We're going to get into that in this segment coming up after news. You'll want to hear the rest of that story as well. In the meantime, the vice president of the Minneapolis City Council, claims she was held hostage while attending a pride celebration over the weekend. There is video showing a large group of protesters blocking her vehicle until she agreed to sign a list of their demands that included dropping criminal charges against any rioters. Andrea Jenkins represents Minneapolis's 8th Ward. She identifies as a first black openly transgender woman to be elected to office in the U.S. She said in a statement, it's also time to stop the holding of black-owned businesses, neighbors and residents of the neighborhood near George Floyd Square hostage for more than a year. They basically feel that they're being held hostage because they can't get anything done. Well, do you think the Democrats might now say, you know, there could be election fraud? You think they might raise that question, especially what's happening in New York? The New York City Board of Elections withdrawing its latest count in the Democrat Party primary. 135,000 test ballots were mistakenly included in a tally earlier in the day. Oh, it's confusion, chaos. We didn't. It was a mistake. 135,000. And for all those who see that Trump lost a state by 10, 15,000, I know the questions are there. Gas prices across the U.S. at their highest level since late 2014. $3.11 per gallon on average, but it's higher in many cases. By the way, there's a report from a group that follows aluminum and aluminum prices. They say prices of aluminum are getting ready to go up. Russia is setting an export tax that will disrupt the entire aluminum market. In the meantime, President Joe Biden expressing alarm about the high temperatures in Portland. So we need more money to fight natural infrastructure, to fight climate change. Yes, we need more money. 116 degrees, we need more money. Hey, is there an ice cream stand somewhere? Come on, man.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with the railroad.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Ultimately, Democratic leaders said that equating the U.S. and Israel with Hamas and the terror and the Taliban, quote, foments prejudice. And as you know, a group of Jewish House Democrats wrote a letter to President Biden saying that accusing Israel of acts of terror, as you and other members of the squad have done, is anti-Semitic. Do you regret these comments?
I don't.
That's it. I don't. Those were the words of Jake Tapper questioning Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Democrat in Minnesota, about some of her recent remarks where, again, she said things that were obviously anti-Semitic, or at least in the view of even other Democrats. And something like 200-plus Jewish rabbis around the nation signed off on a letter that went to Nancy Pelosi saying she's got to be removed from any committee. She should not be serving on any committee. But you know what? For the most part, in members of Congress, you're not hearing a lot. And in particular, Senator Chuck Schumer, a Jewish, New York Democrat. Now, granted, he's in the Senate, so we could say, that's Nancy Pelosi's issue. But he's a leader of the Democrats, all Democrats. She has done this numerous times before. And she's been called out on it numerous times before. I'm looking at a piece about that was done by Vox, which is more of a liberal approach on things. And she's suggesting that many people believe just because she's Muslim that she's anti-Semitic. And they always throw that label up to shut down any debate, to shut her down entirely. She said, what I'm fearful of is because Rashida Tlaib, another congresswoman, of course, a member of the squad, an Arab Muslim that a lot of our Jewish colleagues, a lot of our constituents, a lot of our allies go to thinking that everything we say about Israel to be anti-Semitic because we are Muslim. She's going to use that card. She's going to play that card, said, you're just unfairly targeting me. When she has previously made remarks that our U.S. Congress is an ally of Israel because it's all about the Benjamins, baby. That's why some of the congressmen are counting on getting reelected, because they're counting on Jewish votes to support them because they're supporting Israel. She was willing to do this interview with Jake Tapper, and they went through several questions. But that one question you heard her ask, or him ask in her answer, he asked simply, a group of Jewish House Democrats wrote a letter to President Biden saying that accusing Israel of acts of terror, as she did, linking the U.S. and Israel with Hamas and the Taliban, saying we're all equal. Tapper asked, a group of Jewish House Democrats wrote a letter to President Biden saying that accusing Israel of acts of terror, as you and other members of the squad have done, is anti-Semitic. And, of course, we left it off when she answered when he asked, do you regret these comments? Now, I want to start it again, part of it. She gave the question, and I'm going to allow her full answer to that point.
Do you regret these comments?
I don't. I think it's really important to think back to the point that I was trying to make. Obviously, I was addressing Secretary of State Blinken. The cases are put together in front of the ICC. ICC has been investigating. I know that, you know, some of my colleagues don't lend legitimacy to the ICC, but I tend to think that people around the world who have experienced injustice need to be able to have a place where they can go. And as a country that helped found the ICC and supported it, I think that it is really important for us to continue to find ways in which people can find justice around the world.
Okay, so I let the whole answer go through. I don't know if you got lost in it, because it's babble. It is babble. Let me help you break it down. She said, well, I don't. Do you regret the comments? I don't. I think it's important to think back to the point I was trying to make, which was, what was that? Okay, she said, well, I was addressing Secretary of State Blinken, and the cases being put together in front of the ICC. Now, the ICC is the International Criminal Court, which we support. The founding treaty of the court grants the ICC, the International Criminal Court, jurisdiction over four main crimes. The first is genocide, described as the intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnic, racial, religious group by killing its members or other means, causing serious bodily harm, mental harm to them, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its destruction, forcibly transferring children of the group somewhere else. All that fits under genocide that the International Criminal Court oversees. And secondly, crimes against humanity. Violations committed as part of a large-scale attack against any civilian population. Now, there are 15 different forms of crime against humanity listed that the International Criminal Court oversees. That would include rape, murder, imprisonment, enforced disappearances, enslavement, especially of women and children, sexual slavery, torture, apartheid, deportation. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. She is saying that I don't think the ICC is properly investigating the way it should, so there's no real legitimacy, and yet we're part of it, we support it, that we have found the ICC, the International Criminal Court, so I think it's important for us to find and continue ways in which people can find justice around the world. My question to you, Congresswoman, Congresswoman Omar, what are you doing about that particular part I just read? Enslavement, especially of women and children, sexual slavery, in Muslim-based countries where that takes place, where women are not even a second-class citizen. And no woman in those countries would be allowed to even begin to speak out as you have already in that country. What are you doing about those as well? So, yes, all of your vile spew is aimed directly at Israel because she's with PLO and Hamas as far as their intent to destroy Israel, to wipe it off the map. The International Criminal Court also does deal with war crimes. That would, of course, everything in the Geneva Conventions involving armed conflict, use of child soldiers, killing or torturing civilians or prisoners of war, directly hitting hospitals, historic monuments, religion, education. What about that? Because Hamas, when they fire those rockets into Israel, they care not where they fall. They hope they do fall into civilian populations, maybe a synagogue. When Israel responds, it may have collateral damage with civilians, but the intent was to go after the rocket launchers, but of course they hide them in the midst of the civilian population. And one other point from the International Criminal Court, the crime of aggression, armed force by a state against a sovereignty, integrity, or independence of another, which is exactly what the PLO has been doing via Hamas. So she wants justice in the International Criminal Court for those cases. Well, you better reread again what's involved, because what she's trying to do is saying, we are part of the ICC, the International Criminal Court. We're not bringing real justice. We're not bringing real justice. We are basically allowing, in her opinion, Jews to run rampant. Many Jews, of course, have already made it clear that when she speaks, they're not referring to her being anti-Jewish simply because she's Muslim, because there are many Muslims who are not anti-Semitic in general. So again, let's look at that question as posed by Jake Tapper to her.
But what do you say to them? I hear everything you're saying about your fight for justice, but what do you say to them when they say, I hear what you're saying, but the terms you're using, the language you're using is anti-Semitic?
No, I hear that. I have obviously clarified and, you know, apologized when I have felt that my words have offended. And it's really important, right? As I've explained to my colleagues, they have engaged in Islamophobic tropes. I have yet to receive an apology.
So she's upset. I haven't received an apology, so I have nothing to offer. I don't know of any specifics that she pointed out, and Jake Tapper didn't bother asking. Well, you just said that. Well, what do you mean exactly? Give us a case. Wouldn't that have been a natural question if you're really going to be a journalist? If you're going to sit there and say, I am a journalist and I'm going to raise some good hard questions, and I give him credit for the couple of questions he asked, but there was one put right in his lap when she said, I've been a victim of these and I've never gotten an apology. The question would be, what exactly have you been subjected to and by whom? It's a natural. I'll tell you what Louis Farrakhan had said about Ilhan Omar previously. This is back a couple of years ago, but it stands now. He's telling her, do not apologize for any comments. Louis Farrakhan, of course, is also anti-Semitic. But she had made claims that blamed, quote, the wicked Jews, and they were being used, Farrakhan says, the wicked Jews using claims against him, linking him and her together. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi had called for the freshman congressman to apologize for her reactions and actions, and she apologized, saying, I'm grateful for Jewish allies who educated me about the history behind my comments. She knew damn well what the history was. And, of course, members of Congress all got together to come up with a rebuke. They were going to basically a resolution. They spent days, and they still didn't put her name in it when they wrote it. They just said, we're against all anti-Semitic, we're against any racism, so forth and so on. A laundry list. Didn't affect anything, didn't change anything. And she continues, you think there might be something coming down the road, that there might be some change, that she might finally decide that, you know, maybe if we'd be more open-minded. She wants you to be open-minded, and she wants an apology from you. At least this is the way she sums it up.
I think I have always been someone who is humbled, someone who understands how words can be harmful and hurtful to people. And I've always listened and learned and behaved accordingly and showed up with compassion and care.
Uh-huh. That fits perfectly with what I'd said earlier when she put out on Twitter at one time that the U.S. is tied closely to Israel because it's all about the Benjamins. Because American politicians are paid to be pro-Israel. Coming up, two things. Tucker Carlson claimed the NSA spying on him. That also deserves a closer look. But before that, election fraud in New York City involving Democrats?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I say, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The New York City mayoral primary vote was last Tuesday. Last Tuesday. I don't mean yesterday. I mean last week, last Tuesday. They still haven't finished. And on top of that, now they've got a big mess on their hands. The Republican candidates, it's already been decided. There are only two of them. Curtis Sliwa, founder of the Guardian Angels, was nominated as Republican. It's not likely a Republican's going to win in New York at this point, but that's where we are. Out of those who are running in the primary for mayor of New York City included the guy that looked like to be right at the top, that he was going to win. He said, I am the face of the Democrat Party, the new Democrat Party. That is because he is a former police captain, Eric Adams, indicated he could be, well, the city's second black mayor. That was following David Dinkins, elected in 1990 through 93. But this was, in New York City, the first, quote, big test of ranked choices in U.S. elections, which means all the candidates could be on there, and you pick who you want, one, second, and third, and whoever gets the most one votes, of course, goes to the top. Whoever gets number two, they go in, and you might end up having three of them that are all, so they all go in. But still at that point, it appeared to be that it was going to be Eric Adams holding on, maybe barely. But now it's all thrown out, basically. The Board of Elections in New York City said, we got to throw it all out. And I want to keep in mind for you, I told you the election was last week, last Tuesday. Well, what has happened is there were apparently 135,000 test ballots that got thrown into the mix as well when they were counting them. And they still have 100,000+ absentee ballots, 125,000 absentee ballots still not counted. This is all the Democrats. These are Democrat candidates. It's a Democrat-run election, basically. It's pretty damn messy, isn't it? It could also be very fraudulent if that was the intent. So the man who might have been the second black mayor of New York City and might still be eventually suddenly is not a shoe-in as it appeared. And a second-place finisher at that time was Maya Wiley, the very same woman who said would not answer a question during a debate. Would you take guns away from the police? She said, well, I don't want to debate that at this point. That's why you're here to debate issues like that. She refused to answer the question. Every other candidate said, yes, no, I'm not going to take guns away from police. No, you're going to let them keep the guns. But Maya Wiley wouldn't do that. She couldn't commit to it. So for all the Democrats who say there's never any election fraud, that doesn't happen. You folks who think this last election involving Trump was rigged and all the absentee ballots changed it and it was not right. Oh, yeah, he lost this state by 18,000, that one by 20,000. It doesn't happen. Let me remind you again. I'm speaking about New York City, Democrat stronghold, holding its Democrat mayoral primary. And the board is saying, we made a mistake. We counted 135,000 test ballots in the totals. Now, on Election Day last Tuesday a week ago, the previous police captain, Adams, black man, dominated the race with 31.6%. Followed by Wiley, the woman who's not willing to say she'd take guns away from police, at 22%. Then all the ballots, the ranked ballots, were tabulated. Adams still in the lead, but he got cut down. And now they are totally confused. You talk about chaos. And don't forget, as I said, 125,000 absentee ballots that still haven't been counted. So, and the Board of Elections was accepting them through this last year, through yesterday. Yeah, when the Democrats say there's no fraud in any election, it's all run perfectly, no, believe us. Wonder how many of these Democrat candidates are screaming, what the? Coming up, Tucker Carlson and a statement he made that is extremely shocking. Much as I like the guy, I got to raise questions. Stand by.
Email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We told you a couple of weeks ago, based on language and publicly available indictments, that the FBI clearly had foreknowledge of the riot at the Capitol that day. And the agents we spoke to this weekend confirmed that is true. Quote, the FBI had sources in that crowd, confidential sources, snitches. That's 100% certain. But it's not just political protesters the government is spying on. Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air.
The words of Tucker Carlson. And again, I'm a big fan of Tucker Carlson, always have been. And especially his current program on Fox. It's engaging, and he's right with it. Some sharp wit, writing, and I don't know if it's all his, but I've seen him enough in the past and know that probably most, if not all of it, is his, and his look at things. He's very good, very good. Strong conservative. I know in the beginning, some of you folks might remember when he first was appearing as often as a guest analyst and so forth, you'd see him in a bow tie. Well, he doesn't use the bow tie anymore, but he's made his mark. He's made his mark now, especially in the ratings. I mean, it's one of the higher rated programs on Fox, along with Hannity. But what he just said, I have some questions. Tucker Carlson just said, yesterday we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. That is very strong. So that's where we stopped his comments. We're going to pick it up because immediately after he said to take this show off the air, he acknowledges, yeah, this is, it's shocking.
Now, that's a shocking claim, and ordinarily we'd be skeptical of it. It's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It's a crime. It's not a third world country. Things like that should not happen in America. But unfortunately, they do happen, and in this case, they did happen. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information, period. The NSA captured that information without our knowledge and did it for political reasons. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that.
You know, I'm sorry, but for those of you who are big Tucker fans, maybe more Tucker fan than Larry Connors fan, you're going to like me less by what I'm getting ready to say. I have a lot of questions to what Tucker just said is confirmed. I'm not the only one. I don't claim to be the only one. But if you've listened to this program enough, you know I called Trump out on some things when he was president that he did wrong or shouldn't have said or should be held accountable for. I call the balls and strikes. Yes, I am primarily conservative. I do have some independent views that come closer to the independents that are represented. I even have some liberal views that some of my conservative friends say, how can you possibly have that view? I say, well, I'm entitled to have the view I want just as you are. The main gist of my program, the main purpose I push each and every day is patriotic, 100% patriotic. And if you're going to be 100% patriotic, I don't care what your color is, your religion is, your gender is, your political leanings are. If I see it wrong, I'm going to call it out. Now, you might disagree with me. Again, that's your title to have that as well. But Tucker Carlson just said, the whistleblower who's in a position to know repeated back to us information coming only directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information, period. Tucker, you were smart enough to know if you sent an email, somebody's at the other end receiving it. Maybe you even discussed the email with someone else on your staff. How do you not know a member inside your staff or inside Fox did not leak the information and send it out? And how do you know, again, that the whistleblower knows what the hell they're talking about? Yes, it's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It'd be a crime. But he says this is all being done to take us off the air, and we've confirmed that. The Biden administration is spying on us. Nothing he said confirmed it. I want to also switch now. In fact, I tried to book him as a guest today. I still want to do it at some point, but he said, I'm really loaded, and I understand why. We've had him on before, Jim Garrity, senior political correspondent of the National Review. He wrote a piece, and he's talking about, the headline basically is Tucker Carlson versus the NSA. Subheadline, Tucker Carlson's gigantic unproven accusation against the NSA. And he writes, color me exceptionally skeptical of Tucker Carlson's claim that the U.S. national security is spying on his test and emails and plans, quote, to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. He said, color me skeptical with a caveat. He said, extraordinary accusations require extraordinary proof. And so far, Carlson has only described what he's been told by an unnamed source he characterized as a whistleblower. He said, Carlson has not named his source, named with whom he exchanged the messages, what was discussed in them, shown no interest in internal NSA documents or paperwork backing up the allegations. Well, he has now. They have now filed under FOIA, a Federal Information Act, to get details and information from the National Security Agency. And he says the NSA statement that was issued, and here's the statement they released, saying that Carlson alleged the NSA monitoring their electronic communication, so forth and so on, goes on to say the allegation is untrue. Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency. The NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air. Now, I'm not going to take the NSA at its word either, but that's their statement. I go along with Jim Garrity again, as I say, the senior political correspondent of the National Review. You got, if you're going to make that kind of statement, you got to put something out in front and say, here's the proof. But his closing line, as you heard a moment ago, the Biden administration is spying on us. We've confirmed that. So here's Tucker trying to explain what the next step will be.
This morning we filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, asking for all information that the NSA and other agencies have gathered about this show. We did it mostly as a formality. We've also contacted the press office at both NSA and the FBI. We don't expect to hear much back. That's the way that usually goes. Only Congress can force transparency on the intelligence agencies, and they should do that immediately.
I have no problem with that statement. They filed the request. They want all the information from the NSA and other agencies, whatever they gathered about a show. Said we did it mostly as a formality. We even contacted the press office, the FBI and the NSA, didn't expect to hear anything back. Only Congress can force it, and he says they should. Well, if there is something he would share with members of Congress, even behind closed doors, say, this is what we have heard and seen, it might be enough to have some of them say, yeah, I think it is worth an inquiry. Now, again, don't get me wrong. You have to some people get so divided, they close their ears entirely. I mean, they're looking right at you, and yet it's already shut down inside. When I tell you that Tucker Carlson has to prove it, he has to prove it. When I tell you that the NSA also, in this case, if they had not done nothing, well, then they should have no problem releasing anything that relates to the show and make it all available, transparency. But if you already made up your mind that, yeah, the NSA is doing that because Tucker Carlson said they're doing it, you made up your mind that Trump is going to take office in August, I can't talk you out of it. That's your position. I'm trying to say I want to deal with the facts, which are sometimes a nuisance for some folks. Jim Garrity, in his piece with the National Review, wrote that my colleague David Harsanyi says, he said, I wouldn't rule it out based on past abuses of surveillance. He said, it sounds rather fantastical. We've seen no evidence of corroboration. My initial instinct would be to dismiss it. As it happens, though, he said, I've been alive for the past two decades, and history tells us it is wholly conceivable intel and law enforcement agencies would spy on a TV personality. They spy all the time. They do it illegally. They do it for partisan reasons. They do it to lawmakers. They do it to journalists. In other words, I agree with that as well. They may well be doing it. I just have a problem with Tucker Carlson being so direct and absolutely final. The Biden administration is spying on us, and we confirm that.
Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away.
Yes, if it's happening, it should be. And if it was happening, it probably stops now because they made a big deal of it. But again, If you trace back, if you're doing this as you should, he said, we heard a whistleblower within the government. Was it a whistleblower? Somebody really know. He says, there's no way you could have that information unless they're looking at cutting into our email. You don't have people around the staff that know your emails? No, there are too many questions, Tucker. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say you're lying. I'm just saying I don't think you've got all your facts. Coming up, can you blame the Republicans for defunding police?
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So, for those of you that were looking to add comments on my remarks about Tucker Carlson a moment ago at Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, I did not have time to even post that was going to be on the program today. I've been jammed all the way and just trying to get the program put together. So, we will put the podcast up shortly. Quentin will take care of that. Let your friends and family know about the remarks, and they can all join in and add their remarks. It'll be at Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com later in the day. Then maybe tomorrow I'll be reading through some of those. And if Tucker Carlson wants to respond, I'll read his as well. I had in a previous segment today Congressman Jim Clyburn, Democrat of South Carolina. He's upset with members of his own party. He said, you use these slogans like defund the police. He said, you are cutting the throats of our party. That's what he said in an interview with the New York Times and elsewhere. And he added, we're not against policing. We're against rotten police officials. Well, I think I agree with him on that. That's our issue. But he says, we're not against policing. And he says, every time a Democrat wants to sloganeer something like defund the police, march of the streets, defund the police, said bad things happen to the very people that are complaining about how they're being treated to begin with. And now we have Democrats, even in the Biden White House, actually accusing Republicans. They're the ones who want to defund the police. Yeah, that's Biden advisor Cedric Richmond over the weekend had said, you know, all this crime wave that's going on, first of all, it's exaggerated. It's not really happening. Really? You want to tell that to those who are suffering from it? He said, and Republicans trying to blame us for defunding the police, they're the ones who are doing it. He said he was referring to the rescue plan that had an emergency relief plan for cities cash-strapped, laying off police and firefighters. He said Republicans objected to it, our American Rescue Plan. And then Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, agreed. She said, yes, we didn't get a single Republican vote. That funding has been used to keep cops on the beat. See, you can be a White House press secretary and lie easily. I'm sure anyone could, maybe. But she's wrong, and so is the Biden advisor, Richmond. The American Rescue Plan did not include specific funding to hire more police officers. They were trying to roll a bunch of stuff in there, but it wasn't even that. And here's a look at some of the cities that have already slashed police budgets this past year. New York, June 2020, Mayor Bill de Blasio cut $1 billion from the budget of the New York City Police Department, despite a surge in shootings, more protests, violent unrest. And over the weekend, a man shot in the back in Times Square, there with his family, college graduate, looking for a time to enjoy the Big Apple, and he gets shot in the back. He wasn't the target. They say it's a ricochet, but does that make any difference to him? He's a victim. The Philadelphia City Council last year cut $33 million from the police department. NBC 10 television in Philadelphia says that city is now on pace to have one of the deadliest years on record. Baltimore, slashing $22 million in police spending. Baltimore Police Commissioner said, we need more boots on the ground. We got a surge of violent crime. D.C. Lawmakers promised to cut $15 million from the police department of D.C. Washington Post reporting homicides in D.C. up 38% compared to the same time in 2020. L.A. Garrisetti wants an increase in police spending of, he wants an increase of about $50 million. Previously, it's all about cutting the city police budget by $150 million. Now he says, okay, let's give $50 million back. He's recognized that didn't work. Minneapolis City Council pledged unanimously to disband the city police department. Does that sound smart at all? Seattle, the city council approving proposals that would reduce police department by as many as 100 layoffs. Fewer officers, more crime. Yeah, that makes sense. Portland, Oregon, cutting nearly $16 million from the police. They continue to have a rampant crime in Portland. And then they're trying to decide how money will be spent that they take from police. Well, President Biden said, let's reallocate police resources. And Vice President Kamala Harris had applauded Garcetti in L.A. for cutting $150 million. I don't know what she says now that he wants $50 million back in it. You got others saying we need to take some of that money and spend it on things like, dismantle the police department in Minneapolis, I should say, according to Congresswoman Omar. Congresswoman Bush, Democrat, Missouri, says defund police. Despite all this stuff, they say we need to take more money from the police. We'll send people in that are more or less social workers to deal with things. And we don't need cops to carry out traffic stops. We'll just have a citizen stop and say, just want to let you know you got a traffic light out. Or if they're going to let cops do it, maybe the cop keeps the gun in the car because you don't need to have a gun every time you go talk to a citizen. They have no idea of reality. And for you first responders out there, be you police, fire, paramedics, whatever, I thank you. And most of the nation thanks you. I remind all of you, keep in mind the pledge for this program. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.